now, folks, I am joined by my guy, Bill Bender, college football writer at The Sporting News, co-host of the CFB Nation, or the CFB All-America show at CFB Nation. I know you guys did a recording today that we'll get up tomorrow, previewing this weekend's games, Bill. But very interesting weekend last week. Got some right, got some wrong. I think you actually got a couple more right than I did, because I got a couple wrong. Bill, another big weekend of college football games. Five games this weekend between ranked opponents, man. It's going to be another separation Saturday, so to speak, here in a lot of these conferences with some of the matchups this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, going back to last week real quick, we both touched on Kirby and the underdog card last week, and boy, did he play that. He dealt it from the bottom of the deck, the top of the deck. They were just ready, and we've watched that over the years. You know, when you start, it's kind of what you guys were just talking about with Notre Dame Navy, and we don't get into that game. I know you talked about it all week, but
feel free to talk about it, Bill. I mean, it's a top 25 game, so if you want to start talking about it,
You know, two series in, what's going to happen, and I kind of felt that way. Georgia, you know, I picked Texas, but two series in, you see how Georgia's flying to the football, you see how angry they look, you see the passion they're playing with, and you're like, Texas is in trouble. So it's kind of like you were talking about with Notre Dame handling this triple option, where I, you know, if Navy chews up a quarter to start the game and Horvath scores a touchdown, you'd be like, yeah, this is going to be a dogfight. If Notre Dame three and outs them and scores, and you can see that those young guys can handle the triple option, you know, that was a scary one. I lean toward blowout there, but I just never know with Navy. I don't think Navy has played anybody yet. And that's one thing I'm considering with that game.
Did you say they haven't played anybody?
Not in the top 100, right?
Memphis. Army's the one that hasn't played anybody. Army's played all bad.
Navy got Memphis, and that's
Navy's
really
played it. All bad except one.
Yeah.
Okay. And they controlled that game. I mean, they won that game handily in the second half, Bill. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. There's no question about it.
Hey, CFB Nation listeners, it's Matt Leiner. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. From football locker rooms to Hollywood green rooms, we've got you covered. We're your weekly destination for the games you want to hear about and the stories you won't forget. So subscribe to Throwbacks wherever you download your podcast and follow us on all social media at Throwback Show.
So let's get to some of these other games, Bill. Again, just a really interesting week of football. And we'll start off with some of these. We got two primetime games games that I think are just huge this weekend. And that's LSU and Texas A&M. We'll talk about that. That is, to me, the premier matchup of the weekend, in my opinion. That is one of two games that I think, Bill, maybe you could argue Missouri and Bama, maybe, but I don't think Missouri's a playoff team. They're in trouble. I think this is the one game. A&M and LSU and Notre Dame and Navy are the two games that have the biggest playoff implications for both teams moving forward. You could argue maybe a couple, Illinois, LSU, you know, Oregon. I'm not talking technically. I'm talking about teams that we actually think have a shot. Navy has a legitimate shot, especially if they beat Notre Dame, of getting into, and possibly even if they lose to Notre Dame, of getting into that group of five bid with the AAC championship, because then their only loss would be to a non-conference opponent. And then, of course, Notre Dame has a shot to get in. The other one is Texas, LSU and Texas A&M. We're also going to talk about Penn State, Wisconsin. Now, this is a very interesting game for me, Bill. I think those are, to me, the two biggest games of the weekend. But there's several others I want to talk about first, Bill, before we get to those. And one of the games that I want to talk about is this number five Texas at number 25 Vanderbilt, who had on their preseason prediction show or article how important this late October game of Texas at Vanderbilt was going to be when it came down to the SEC championship. Bill, I don't see it happening. But right now, Vanderbilt's kind of in control of their own destiny in regard to playing for the SEC championship. They got one conference loss. And you beat Texas, you're literally ahead of Texas in the conference standings. Very interesting game in that regard. But also, where is Texas here and here after what happened to them, where they just got physically beat up last week by Georgia. Where are they there?
Well, yeah. I mean, first off, Vandy, how much money you make if you say, yeah, they're going to beat Alabama and Texas this year, if they were somehow able to pull this off.
You're retiring is basically what you're doing if you had money on both of those games.
Right. Of the games that we're going to talk about today, this was the hardest one for me to pick because I don't know what Texas headspace is right now. If it's, you know, you see teams come off a game like that where they did battle back and they made it a one score game with the help of the refs. But does it take a quarter to get going? I don't think Vanderbilt's going to be able to guard them on the perimeter. I also know that Vanderbilt doesn't turn the ball over with Clark Lee, and they run clock and they're good on third down. So they have like a lot of the ingredients to the upset cookbook, which an undisciplined Alabama team walked into. I think Texas got a little more discipline than that. So that number on the spread is about right. And I think Texas gets it done. A lot of manufactured Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning quarterback controversy starts. My take on it, it's not a popular take, but it's my take, is that Quinn Ewers will be the starter for the remainder of the season unless he gets hurt.
Why is it not popular?
Because everybody wants Arch to play.
Gotcha. Right. You're going with common sense, not what's going to sell, make big clicks and do all that.
That. And I've tried to have this conversation logically. Oh, well, and Brian, you know this as being a coach, like, what Sark did Saturday made sense. Sometimes you just quarterback, big game, going too fast, not going well, give him a second.
Second game back after missing a month.
Right. Rust. Take a breath. We'll try Arch. And by the way, anybody that watched that, Arch didn't do much. Georgia was ready for Arch too. So I think the next time we could possibly see something like this pop up is when Texas plays Texas A&M. But for those that think, unless Quinn Ewers gets hurt, he's going to take this at least to the playoff.
Yeah. He did not play well last week, but people act like, you know, Quinn doesn't have a phenomenal beatdown, right, you know, performance against Bama under his belt last year. Like, he didn't put the team on his shoulders in the second half against Washington and lead them back and almost tie that. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, right, we've gotten to this point where it's like, if Arch's last name was Jones, and his dad was a UPS truck driver, and family was just a normal middle-class Midwestern family, we're not having these same conversations right now. Nobody's talking about Quinn Ewers getting benched. You know, there was that BS report that came out this week that Quinn Ewers is going to sit out the year and all this other bull crap. You know, it's just, it is sad what's kind of happened to analysis and journalism, but that's a different conversation for a different day. I'm with you. The reality is that if you go back and watch that game, if the Texas offensive line plays better, Texas wins that game comfortably, because Georgia still can't cover, Bill. I mean, you watch that game, they still can't cover receivers. They really can't.
Their secondary is not that great.
No, it's not. But they never really had time to get the ball down the field in those situations. They really didn't. Vanderbilt is a gritty team. They don't have the ability in the front to dominate Texas the way Georgia did. That this game is not so much about can Vandy pull off another upset. This game is more about where's Texas's head at. Do they come back and they're in their feelings and they're a little bummed out about losing to Vanderbilt, kind of like Bama was the week after when they went and played South Carolina when they got beat by Vandy. They were not in a good headspace and they sleptwalked through that game and almost got upset. That could happen to Texas in this game, Bill. There's no question. But if they're in their good headspace, I think they dominate this football game. I know it's on the road. I get all that. But I think Texas is still the better team by far. It's just about where are they in the headspace. I did want to ask you, Bill, if it's okay. We didn't have this on the schedule, but there's another that Bama-Missouri game.
Mm-hmm.
Is this who Bama is this year? Or is there like okay, we're going to figure it out and get – I mean, like, because – we don't know that. I mean, Kalen DeBoer is a heck of a coach. His career track record shows that. Bama's a different animal. Is there a moment that Bama figures it out, or is this just who they're going to be this year?
I think it's who they are. And they'll beat Missouri because Missouri might not have – they're not going to have Knoll. They're probably not going to have Brady Cook. Sounds like
they're not that good anyway.
They're not that good.
I saw Mookie Cooper's also doubtful. you know, in that game.
They're going to be hurting. And I think Alabama wins, but is it a guaranteed blowout? No, because they are penalized a lot. They, one of the things that probably should get written about, and players will never admit it, these guys play for Nick Saban. So there's some of them that it's easy to check out. Remember, 18 to 22 year olds, they'll never admit it. Be like, yeah, I checked out of that season. But different coach, junior or senior, they've been ripped a lot for, I think it, who was it this week? It was AJ McCarron this week that said, they're too worried about TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this speech with Ohio State before. So, yeah, I mean, it could be a little bit culture, but it doesn't mean that Kalen DeBoer is not a good coach. But in the confines of what this season is, they are who they are. I just think that's what they are, and they may go 10-2, but it's not that good of a team right now.
That's kind of where I'm at too, Bill, because they have some talent at spots, but they just – I think the Bama game was a little bit of fool's gold. Let me rephrase. The Bama first half was a little bit of fool's gold. And it more was about exposing Georgia, looking back, hindsight, didn't feel that way at the time. Looking back, because I thought Bama was going to be pretty good this year, and I didn't put enough stock into how much they lost from a pert player standpoint. This is a different team if they have Caleb Downs at safety with Malachi Moore instead of, what's there now and some of these other guys. And the other thing, too, is their offensive line is yet to impress me really all season. And you don't have that to hang your hat on. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have that, hey, we're struggling, we're just going to line up and we're just going to beat you up front and we're going to run the football and just grind this one out. They don't have that ability. Like, they're the polar opposite of Georgia. If you put Georgia and Bama together and you say, okay, I'm going to take Georgia's big guys, O-line, D-line, and I'm going to take Bama's skill on both sides of the ball, it's one heck of a team. You know what I mean? But they're polar opposite strengths and weaknesses right now. Bama could beat anybody in a 7-on-7 tournament right now, but they struggle, in my opinion, or they could play with anybody. But the trenches, they're just not good in the offensive line. They're very slow. They're very unathletic. I just don't think Missouri has the ability to do anything about it. So
no.
That's my thoughts. The other question I have, a little Big Ten game, Bill. Number 20, Illinois at number 1, Oregon. Oregon had a little bit of a letdown game last week. Let's be honest about that. That was what that 35-0 game against Purdue was. Little bit of a letdown game Friday night across the country. Going back home, does Illinois have any shot of making this a game, Bill, in your opinion? I think it's a 21.5-point spread.
I think they can hang around, be boring. Luke Altmaier can run a little bit, and they can try to control the clock. How sustainable, how long, I don't know. I mean, they did hang around with Penn State. They are doing the cross-country thing. Brett Bielema's done a nice job. I don't know how good they are. Their defense plays well and plays fundamental, but can they beat Oregon? No. Can they cover that number? Yes, I think they will. And they become, to me, let's say Illinois goes out there and loses 28 or 34 to 27, something like that. And then they went out. They're a 10-win team with losses to Penn State and Oregon that aren't competitive losses on the road, Penn State at night. And then they get white out or whatever. And then this one, that's a resume that's going to get talked about at the very end of the year. Yeah. So if you're
– the question is going to be, again, they've got to beat somebody. That's the interesting thing is the Big Ten has given a lot of teams schedules that are allowing that. Like, they went the opposite of what the SEC did.
Yep.
So now, okay, yes, the two losses are good, but the committee has always said they value wins more than losses. So two things about that. So now you better hope that Nebraska runs the table and is really good, because otherwise you're hanging your hat on your best win being maybe Nebraska, maybe Michigan. You know what I mean? And that's going to – that could be where you say, okay, we're going to take a 9-3 Georgia team with wins over Clemson Texas, but three losses over a 10-2 Illinois team that doesn't have any good wins. That's the rub that they're going to have. But it's going to be a conversation if you get into some of those situations, Bill. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and
they're better off upsetting Oregon and then getting upset by Rutgers in a couple weeks.
Right.
Honestly.
I put that scenario out there on my feed this week about There is a scenario, if Illinois pulls off this win, that Illinois, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and Indiana could all be 11-1 with 8-1 conference records. This is the piece that has, this is the most unlikely piece of that scenario. The rest of it is like, if Illinois does this, the rest is entirely feasible because Ohio State beat winning at Penn State. Yeah, that could happen. Ohio State beating Indiana. Yeah, that could probably happen. Can Indiana hold up their end without Curtis Rourke this weekend against Washington? Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, that scenario, I mean, it's like, let alone how are we going to figure out the playoff? I don't know. But how are we going to figure out who's going to Indy?
Exactly.
It could get really messy. And they're not the only conference where I think that could happen.
Another conference where that can happen, Bill, and this is one of the games we said we were going to talk about, is in the Big 12. Where we predicted chaos before the season, and we're getting even more chaos than we anticipated. This is a game that, if you would have asked me what's at stake on October 26th when Cincinnati heads out to Boulder to play Colorado, what's at stake? And I'd have said, I don't know, one of those coaches is hoping that he can keep his job with a win. That honestly, Bill, what I would have said. But instead, we're sitting here with 2-5-2 football teams. Cincinnati lost by a point to Pitt and 3 points at Texas Tech. They're coming off of a 10-point win over Arizona State. They've also beaten UCF this season. And then Colorado sitting here at 5-2 with a early season loss in Nebraska. Their most recent loss was a really competitive 3-point loss to Kansas State. And they are coming off of their two of their last three games. They blew people out. They blew UCF out on the road and blew Arizona out on the road. They've actually played a lot better on the road this season outside of the Nebraska game than they have at home. Like, all their home games, for the most part, have been competitive. They barely beat North Dakota State at home. They barely beat Baylor at home, almost lost that game, and then lost to Kansas State. So now they're home against Cincinnati, who has played relatively well on the road as well. Bill, they're both 3-1 in the league. One of these teams is going to go into November essentially right in position to earn a spot in the Big 12 title game. And if Colorado wins this game, they're going to have an argument for jumping in the top 25. And that's going to make for a very interesting conversation, because there's going to be some teams at the bottom of the top 25 that are going to lose this week. And Colorado, you look at the rest of their schedule, Bill, with at Texas Tech, home against Utah, at Kansas, home against Oklahoma State. They've got a shot to be a lot better this season than I thought that they were going to be. But this isn't a very important game because it has Big 12 title game implications. And I didn't think I would have said that about Cincinnati and Colorado.
For both sides. I mean, you know, Cincinnati hanging in there, that Pitt loss, they had a 3-score lead. Brendan Sorsby's playing well. Indiana transfer and playing very well for them, which has been a little bit of surprise, I think, in some ways. But they have a lot of veteran transfers. Scott Satterfield's a guy that's quietly, he picked the right guys out of the portal. So did Pitt. We have a feature about Pitt on our website today as they play Syracuse tonight. They picked the right guys, and it's working. Colorado's stats defy logic. How can you – they average 2.7 yards per carry. The only four schools that are worse – I did have to look this up today – are Florida State, UCLA, Akron, and Kent State. And Akron and Kent State in our 1-134 are in the bottom 10 teams in the country. Not running game, teams. So – how do you compensate that? Well, I guess you go 71% out of the air with Shador. Travis Hunter's status in doubt. I mean, I'm and as Bill Troche, my partner in our podcast, pointed out, he's like, their games aren't drawing like super high ratings. So that's probably the sign of progress in a weird way. That means that you're kind of doing your job under the radar and winning the games. Like, Deion is actually winning the games he should. And they should win this game at home.
They lost at home to Kansas State. I don't view that as a game they should have won.
No.
Kansas State's a much better football team than them, but they were competitive. That's the thing. Whereas last year, they were not competitive in these games.
No.
If they win this game, Bill, that would put them at 6-2. And now all of a sudden, what you just said changes. Because they're going to jump on the band, media will jump on the bandwagon immediately that Colorado gets ranked And let's say, hey, let's ride that meal ticket again until it comes crashing down. And then we've got more stories that we can talk about the crash. That's basically kind of how we do it. So this is going to be a very fascinating game. Do you have a prediction for this game, Bill?
What did I put? 27-20 Colorado.
Yeah.
So exciting. Cincinnati can slow it down a little bit. But I think they hang in this game and Colorado wins, and then they're 6-2. Then they're ranked 24 or 23. Iowa State's off this week. BYU, your favorite team. I know you love them. They have a tricky one. They have a tricky one this weekend. At UCF.
You never know what UCF is going to do, Bill.
I have no idea.
What it's been Gus Malzahn's MO since at Auburn. It'll look bad, 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 beat Bama.
I have no idea on a week-to-week basis with them. So BYU loses, then you're starting to look. You're saying, well, it's Kansas State, Iowa State, and they play at the end of the year. Colorado's schedule is set up for success. Like, they're set up for – they might be able to make this happen. And, you know, they play at Texas Tech. They have Utah. Utah hasn't looked good. At Boulder. Kansas, they should win that game. And that would set up so picture what a ironic situation this would be if Colorado was 9-2, final week of the season, Mike Gundy coming to them, Oklahoma State's had this horribly disappointed season, and they're playing spoiler against the Buffaloes. And a lot of people picked Oklahoma State to win the Big 12. I'm not sure if we did or not. I want to say I picked Kansas State in the preseason. It's mind-boggling to me. And a sign that, Deion's got it going on. And notice he hasn't made viral, other than he called out Barack Obama last week, I believe. He hasn't made news for the wrong reasons or for critical reasons. So I didn't even click on the Barack Obama story because I don't think I cared.
I definitely don't care. The game, in they have a bye next week. The game in 2 weeks is, to me, going to be the game that, if they win this one, that's going to say, okay, if they can get through that game at Lubbock, another sneaky 5-2 team in the Big 12, coming off that's another team. The Big 12, I can't figure these teams out, right? I mean, Texas Tech blows out a pretty good North Texas team, beat Cincinnati, beat Arizona, and then they get trounced at home by Baylor, who's not good. It's a weird year in the Big 12. That game's going to be big, Bill, because that's also two teams that only have one loss in the league. So it's going to be interesting. I have 27-17 Colorado. I actually did not get your pick. I forgot to ask your pick for the Texas Vandy game, Bill. I have 34-17 Texas.
I had the same score. I'm not joking. You can even – I believe you can go on – if you think I'm lying.
I don't believe
which I know you don't. If your listeners think I'm lying, you can go look at my weekly picks at Sporting News.
And after the week that I had last week, I don't know why you'd want to be
34-17 Texas, that's which awesome. Is right under that 18-point line. We did. Yeah. So Alabama, it's tricky. I had to do this last week. So I'm very militant about my picks. I put them out on Monday. It's way too early in the week. I won't switch my Alabama-Missouri pick, even though I probably should. It's like last week, I should have added a touchdown to Notre Dame with Haynes King out.
Mm-hmm.
But with the quarterback out, I'm going to leave it. I'll let it ride. I put him up Monday. That's what you do. But I had Alabama winning by, 13 points, like 34-21. Probably less than that. I would probably say it's like 27-20, something like that. Not because that's who they are. So those are those picks.
Let's get to this next game, Bill, before we get to our big games of the weekend. This is a very interesting game. Michigan State at Michigan, a game that before the season I would not have said is going to be, an overly intriguing game. I didn't expect either team to be very good, to be honest with you. I thought Michigan State would get a couple impressive victories because I think Jonathan Smith is one of the most underrated head coaches in college football. I think he's an outstanding head coach. And I thought Michigan wasn't going to be very good. Michigan's not very good. Michigan State's actually a little better than I thought they were going to be this season. And they're both 4-3. I believe they both have identical Big Ten records. But right now, the vibes around Michigan State are a whole lot better, even though they've lost three of their last four games, because they're coming off that really impressive win over Iowa. And Michigan right now is a team that is reeling a little bit. I'm watching the Michigan podcast yesterday, Bill, of a guy that I respect quite a bit. And he's just like assuming they're going to lose this game at home. You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, they did kind of lose to two decent teams the last 2 weeks. It's not like they went out and got beat by, you know, Minnesota or something like that. Illinois is a pretty good football team, you know what I mean? But their offense is abysmal. It's just Michigan State's isn't a whole lot better. But I think what's got some of them spooked is how well the offense looked against Iowa last week.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen when you've got a really talented but really young quarterback. There's going to be some weeks where he just looks like $1 million. And that team is really good. And that's exactly what Childs looked like last week. Aiden Childs looked like last week. But they ran all over Iowa. That was the biggest shocker for me.
All right.
Is they went for over 200 against Iowa. Can they repeat that against Michigan? I don't know, Bill. This is going to be an interesting game. So I first want to ask you about the game, and then I have a follow-up about the ramifications of the game. But first, this is a big opportunity for a great, huge early win for Jonathan Smith, but a much-needed must-win scenario for not just the season, but the career of Sherrone Moore, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's their turnovers is the game. Michigan -7 turnover ratio, haven't figured out quarterback. Their leading receiver, wide receiver, has barely over 100 yards this year. It's an embarrassing look for them in a lot of ways offensively. Quarterback shuffle hasn't worked. I mean, I'm at the point where I'm like, just throw Jaden Davis out there.
And if I'm Jaden Davis's dad, I'm like, no, you are not.
Yeah,
and that's, do that to my son. Right.
Right.
But you're correct.
I mean, but are we doing the redshirt? Are they waiting to play him for three games at the end of the season? Yeah, I mean, they are a mess, an abject mess. But Michigan State, yes, they played well last week and ran the football, but no, they're not a good team.
Right.
They're not there yet. Jonathan Smith can get them there. Aiden Childs turns the ball over a little bit. Michigan plays better at home. It's a rivalry game. This is basically the Super Bowl for both of them this year because they'll have something to hang their hat on. I mean, I can kind of tee up the ramifications this way. I mean, Michigan State loses, it's no big deal.
Right. It's like, part of the problem. They just have to be competitive.
Yeah, they can't go, you know, they've scored 7 points the last 2 years against Michigan in blowout losses, 29-7, 29-7 game, of course, led to the tunnel mess at the end of the game. I don't think Michigan can lose this game. I think I wrote about that for us at Sporting News. The honeymoon part's over.
Oh yeah.
And it's only going to get worse for Sherrone Moore if they lose here, because then you're staring at 5-7.
Yes. You might not make a bowl game, Bill.
If they win this game, they'll
let me just give the schedule. Let's give the schedule. If they lose this game and they go to 4-4, they have Oregon at home next week. Then they play at Indiana, bye week, home against Northwestern, at Ohio State. They have a better shot of going 1-0-4 than they do 3-1 against that schedule.
Right.
Like, if they lose this game, they might not go to a bowl game.
I mean, they'll go 5-7, yeah. Probably. I mean, I think they'll beat Northwestern no matter what, probably. And I think
You and I are going to have some fun talking about predicting what the over-under is going to be for that game, Bill, because it's going to be – is this our first sub-20 over-under game that we ever see from a prediction standpoint?
7-6.
I mean, exactly.
They played let me go look real quick. They played a really bad one with Brady Hoke and Pat Fitzgerald 1 year, and it was – let me see if it was 10 – I want to say it was 10-7 in overtime. Let me make sure. Gosh. It was – look, 10-9 on November 8th, 2014. And I believe it was something to the effect of Northwestern may have gone for 2 to win the game, and Michigan stopped it. It was an ugly game. Devin Gardner was the quarterback. So, I just think Michigan wins, though. Mm-hmm. And they're not – and I know everybody's down. This is one of those don't react to whatever – yeah, they played a good football. They played horrible on offense. If they don't have 3 turnovers, they'll win the football game. If Michigan State doesn't have 1 or 2 turnovers, they'll win the football game. But there's some rivalry element to it. It'll be a lot of fun.
that's the thing is can Michigan State avoid turning the ball over? Because you've got an 18-year-old quarterback. Right. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, he is incredibly talented, but he's an 18-year-old kid. And you can't expect him to play like you. I'll say this, if he plays like they did last week, and honestly, if the offensive line plays like they did last week, they will win this game. They will. I just don't think you can ask him to do that in consecutive games because of just who they're playing. I mean, he's a kid that's got 6 touchdowns on the season passing, 3 rushing. He's also got 9 interceptions. He's had 3 games so far with multiple interceptions. Incredibly talented young man, but he's 18 years old. He's a redshirt freshman. And he's 18 years old. So I love this kid. I mean, he is going to, in my opinion, will be the best quarterback in the Big Ten at some point in time in the future. Love this kid's talent. I don't know if this is the year. I look, because you can talk about struggles and all that, but Bill, sometimes you just got to say it's a rivalry game. You got to put all that stuff aside. You're going to get the best from these two football teams. You will. The question is, can Michigan make enough plays on offense to win a 20-17 game? Okay. That's going to be the question.
And you called this a couple weeks ago. Michigan State's pretty good up front. They're getting a little bit of a participation trophy for Oregon and Ohio State, even though they weren't really competitive in those games.
They were competitive in how they played.
Right.
They weren't competitive in regard to outcome. And I think that's what that's what I saw and that's what I like. Because I said that before, it won't be a close game. But for the quarter and a half, they're going to compete with Ohio State and compete with Oregon, but they don't have the horses to go score. The problem is Michigan doesn't have the offense out to put them away like those teams did.
And this is the best defensive line they will have faced to this.
Ohio State's defensive line is not played like they should.
And then Oregon's pretty good up front, but Michigan can disrupt there. They might not have Will Johnson. They might. That's become an every week thing at this point. You know, you're starting to see with Michigan what you used to see with the Baltimore Ravens of the offense is starting to stress out a really good defense. And that defense is feeling a little bit of pressure to play perfect. Illinois could have had a lot more points. Michigan really defense stopped the bleeding. But I do. I think the Michigan defense, I had it at – what did I have it at? It's not – I don't have it at a very high score, I can tell you that. 20-16 Michigan.
Okay, we're actually close, Bill. I have it 24-16, Michigan State.
Yep. So, I mean, and I can either
I think they pull off the ups. I just think with the issues with Will Johnson, with their secondary problems, I think their offensive line can create enough opportunities for Aiden Childs to just hit a couple plays. And I also think part of this too, Bill, is I think Michigan's going to have a bad turnover or two that's going to give them a 30-yard field. And that's what it's going to come down to for me. Yeah. That's how I see it. I think this – because the worst thing to happen to Michigan was this young, very – I mean, their best receiver, I think, is a true freshman, like Nicholas Marsh, I think, is a true freshman as well. Last thing you wanted to do is give this young team confidence, and that's what that Iowa win was. Because it wasn't fluky. They had almost 500 yards of offense.
Right.
And that's a pretty good defense. So I'm going Michigan State – Michigan's can Sherrone Moore, if I'm right and Michigan State wins, Sherrone Moore's probably got at least 2 more bad losses on. I mean, between Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State, 2 of them are going to be bad losses, meaning like it's going to get ugly.
Right.
In my opinion. Can he recover from that? I mean, we get to the point sometimes, Bill, where you have such a season that is bad enough to where I don't know that you can recover from that. Like Charlie Weiss could never recover from his 07 season, just could never recover from it. And I'm very curious about this.
No, I mean, yeah, he'll be the honeymoon. I think there'll be so much urgency on next year. They're willing to give him one big mulligan season. Say, okay, you lost all these guys. You know, Stuart Mandel wrote an interesting piece this week. I tend to agree with that. They need to break free from Harbaugh and because he can't be Harbaugh, which there's some of that. You know, that's going to be one of those things. So, I think it's definitely worth watching. And I don't know. I just think next year would be so much pressure. Who's the quarterback? Number one, you got to answer that. Is it Jaden Davis?
He's currently playing for someone else.
I think that's what he's getting roasted for most, Brian, is that he didn't go to the portal.
Right.
And all three doors so far at quarterback. And I'll be the first one to admit, you and I, we said there, okay, go to Alex Orgy. He did. Didn't work. And then it didn't work
because they didn't commit to him the way they needed to commit to him with how they structure the offense.
Completely fair. And then the other one was, okay, go to Tuttle. Let's see what Tuttle can do. Pretty sure Tuttle can't get through a quarter without turning the ball over. So now we're back to go back to Orgy. Do what Navy and Army do. Just run it with Mullins and Edwards.
Listen, Michigan, do yourselves a favor. Go watch the 2017 Notre Dame team.
Yeah.
And do what they did. They went 10-3 and had four wins over top 20 teams that year. And I think all of them were double digit wins. And they had a quarterback that completed 49% of his passes. Like, that's your only hope. But they're trying to still run their offense with quarterbacks who can't run the offense. That's the problem. And I think it's because they made a really bad hire at all. He's going to have to, if he's going to save his job, he's going to have to make some big changes this offseason. Right. He's going to have to.
Light it. Hey, College Football Nation listeners, it's Urban Meyer. Have you ever wanted to be in the huddle with two national champions? This is your chance. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram and Rob Stone, every Wednesday as we take you inside the biggest moments in college football, as well as navigate the ever-changing landscape of the sport that you love. Let us guide you into the new age and have a lot of fun along the way. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah. Let's get into the two big games, Bill. And we'll start off with this matchup between Penn State and Wisconsin. If you'd asked me 3 weeks ago about this game, I'd have said, I do not care. Wisconsin stinks. They're not any good. I don't know why they went away from what they're trying to do offensively. Choked away that USC game. Didn't look very good against Western Michigan. Didn't look very good against South Dakota. They're not very good, Bill. They're not very good. They blew a 21-3 lead against USC. They stink. Since then, they beat Purdue 52-6, beat Rutgers on the road 42-7, beat Northwestern on the road 23-3. And they have gone back to what they should have done, and I think they're trying to rectify the biggest mistake that Luke Fickell made, which was hiring a guy to run an air raid offense when you are Wisconsin. And in the last three games, they ran for 106 yards against USC. It's embarrassing. Since then, Bill, they've gone for 228, 309, and 199. They're getting back to being that team and they're on a roll. Penn State, obviously on a roll as well, Bill. This is a much more intriguing game than I thought it would have been a couple weeks ago. It's a 6.5-point spread. It's going to be 7:30. It's a night game on NBC, over under 47.5. Talk to me about this game, Bill. Is this a game you think Wisconsin might have a shot to pull off an upset? I mean, Penn State's looked good, but they haven't been necessarily dominating teams. You know what I mean?
It's the Camp Randall night spot that, you know, we always hear about, but they're 2-13 against top 25 teams in their last 15 games. It's not good. I've tried to convince Bill Troche that, you know, like at least in the last 5 to 6 years that Camp Randall's a little bit of a myth. You can't say it's a tough – it can be a tough place to play in theory, but in execution, to me, it's not a tough place to play if other teams can walk in there and win.
They lost three of their last four home games last year, Bill. I'm just giving you some data to back up your point.
Did Northwestern
lost to Iowa at home.
Yeah.
They lost to Ohio State at home. They lost to Northwestern at home by two touchdowns, and their only win was an overtime win over a not very good Nebraska team.
So having drunk kids in the stands and – playing jump around doesn't make it a tough place to play.
Right.
Winning and having the reputation of knocking off teams makes it a tough place to play. And then you look at, so I went back, they are 1-7 against top five teams in the college football playoff era since 2014.
What's their win?
You're going to love this. So 2016 Lambeau Field. You got it now? LSU. They beat an 16-14.
So Leonard Fournette team, right? Correct. That was his last year with LSU. Yeah, I remember that now.
Brutally bad LSU team. Now, granted, those seven losses, you're talking about Michigan in 2016 at Michigan, Alabama on a neutral site field, and 5 losses to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Okay. So, I mean, like so it's not like we're time. Like, I want to be clear, this stat is skewed. Right. And, right. and some of the, and two of those Ohio State losses were one score games. But yeah, this can you stand up and win one at home? This would be a signature victory for Luke Fickell. It would show that the last 3 weeks aren't just picking on other teams. And Penn State's in a weird spot. I don't know if you saw the story yesterday. Did you see about the former players that have been charged?
Not the first time this has happened for a James Franklin coach.
But the press conference was brutal. Aubrey Snyder with The Athletic asked a question.
Such a bad look.
Just say, I can't comment on the investigation. Yeah. James Franklin steps away. Spokesman comes back in. Basically, for our listeners who don't know, they had two players, former players, who are being charged with, you know, rape and sexual assault. That's a very serious thing. Yeah. And his way of doing it, instead of just saying, you know, Aubrey, I appreciate the question, but I we can't comment on legal matters at this time. So easy. It's too
I've been advised by the school. It's, I mean, I'd love to talk to you about it, but
he can repeat that. He can repeat that, and you might get a little bit hammered for that, but you're getting hammered.
Bill, it looks so much worse when he steps away like a coward and let somebody else come, you know what I mean, step in and answer that. Like, dude, like you said, I can't comment on it. I've been advised by our attorney. It's a pending legal matter. I can't comment on it publicly. You know what I mean? We've issued our statement, but it was such a bad look. A bad look. So that's one of two potential distractions that Penn State could have, Bill. The other potential distraction is what's coming down the road. What's happening next weekend?
Well, they play a team from Columbus.
Correct.
Is that what they do? It's a noon game, which is ridiculous, by the way. So to give you a hint.
Noon game on Fox.
So the next 2 weekends, I will be in Canton. I'll be off working from the hotel room. My daughter has a lacrosse tournament on Sunday. They did not have the good sense to schedule my son and daughter's lacrosse tournament in Canton on the same weekend. So I got to go back up to Canton. I'll probably be watching Grant during the Ohio State Penn State game. So, hey, thank you, Fubo TV. I'll be watching you too. So I'm looking ahead to that too, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's Thursday. I'm sure you are, Archer 452, looking glad that it's at noon because that means it's not at night. But you know what? Not that that matters for Penn State. They're the ones that are going to be on that. They have to win that game, you know, from a perception standpoint. But all the peeking ahead, still think Penn State's better football team this weekend.
Okay.
Running game, Drew Aller, defense. They've answered every challenge so far. Tyler Warren's pretty good. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe I'm leaning on you here.
No, I mean, Bill, I've been back and forth on this one all week because when I watch Penn State, there's a lot of things they do that I like. There is. I mean, their offense, it's like 1 week their pass game rolls and their run game struggles, and then the next week their run game doesn't go well and their pass game bails them out. Like, they didn't run the ball very well against USC, but they were able to make some plays in the passing game. But it was a well-earned win, but kind of an ugly win, you know, and you keep waiting on them to turn it on, Bill. It's like, well, okay, they were looking, you know, Bowling Green, they overlooked Bowling Green. Okay. Illinois, you know, is at home. It was that's a good, okay, fine. Didn't look great at home against UCLA. Went on the road against USC. Part of that was Penn State battling, and part of that was USC kind of choking the game away, if we're being honest, with some just terrible plays from the offense. I have not been as impressed with this Penn State team as I thought I would in a lot of ways, but I also respect the fact that they just keep winning. They just keep finding ways to win. I just feel like, Bill, this particular matchup, there's Wisconsin's hot. They're running the ball effectively. This game is going to come down to can Wisconsin find some ways to make plays in the throwing game. USC is the only team that has run the ball effectively at all on Penn State, and that was mainly because I felt Penn State was just so geared towards stopping the passing game that they kind of gave up some runs. You know, they were willing to kind of give up some of those runs early. Can Wisconsin run the ball when Penn State knows they're going to run the ball? That's the question. That's the matchup. I actually think Wisconsin is going to be able to do a couple things in this game. I think this is going to be a hard-fought game. I'm actually kind of in upset mode this week, Bill. I'm going to be honest with you. I actually like Wisconsin in this game. I think the distraction of this situation, which is a former teammates of these players, the fact that they haven't really looked great in really a month, if we're being honest, and the fact that next week is Ohio State. I think that's enough. And James Franklin every year has that one big game that his team just doesn't show up for. Last year was Michigan and Ohio State. They were outclassed in both of those games. Wisconsin is not that, but I wonder if the environment and all those type of things is going to make us remember, oh, that's right, James Franklin's still their head football coach.
Correct.
That's where what I'm banking on, Bill. So I'm actually going Wisconsin 31, Penn State 28. That's where I'm going. I'm pulling off the upset.
I had it right here. 27-14 Penn State.
Okay.
7 points.
Which is kind of right in line with what they've done.
Yeah, like ugly. I think their defense is better than I want to give it credit for. I think
their defense is solid.
Yeah. It's not bad. Yeah. And then it's going to push into – now, the last time they went to Madison, they won by 6 points, and they needed two Jaquan Brisker interceptions to do it. So I'm going to go 27-14. I don't mind your upset pick, though. Like, I'm not, like, phased by it. Like, oh, Brian, you're just taking a huge shot there. I really think could happen. But
Bill, 2-3 weeks ago, I would have predicted Penn State to win by 17. Right. Honestly, I would have. I was like, this Wisconsin team did not impress me at all. But they have – it's like in the last three teams they've beat aren't very good.
Right.
But they're doing to those teams what good teams are supposed to do to inferior opponents. And that is like my eyes got opened up watching them against Rutgers. I was like, whoa, this is like an old school Wisconsin team. They're running the ball. Their quarterback looks like some kid who shouldn't even be on scholarship. Because remember, they went like a decade without a quarterback that looked like he could start for anyone else in the Big Ten. And they just kept going to the Big Ten title game every other year with those quarterbacks. You know what I mean? That's what they look like, and they're playing gritty defense. I mean, their defense the last few weeks has been really good. It really has, and that's been probably the biggest surprise for me is how much improved their defense has been since that USC game. Now, you know, again, you say, well, yeah, Purdue sucks, but Purdue's offense looked pretty good against Illinois the next week, you know, and I thought they moved the ball more effectively against Oregon than they did against Nebraska against Wisconsin. So, I like this upset. I think the distractions, Penn State's just can they have 2 weeks in a row where they've got to come back and win? I don't know. I'm going with the upset. Let's get to this last game, Bill, and this is the big game of the weekend. You've got number 8 LSU playing on the road against number 14 Texas A&M. Obviously, this is a game that means a lot for Notre Dame in a lot of different ways. A&M is a 2.5-point favorite. So not the first time this year that A&M has been a lower-ranked home team that is favored to beat a top 10 opponent. Last time, Notre Dame beat them 23-13 in a game that was a lot more competitive than the final score of 10 points, right? LSU coming off of a very impressive road win against Arkansas. And now so no looking past Arkansas to A&M, Bill. This is a huge game. Both teams undefeated in the league. And because I think these are actually the last two undefeated teams in league play, correct? They are.
And
so talk to me about this game, Bill. What do you see? What are you thinking? Let's have this conversation about the LSU Tigers and the
Somebody bust the trend of the home team always wins. 7 straight games, the home team has won in this series. Excellent series. I wouldn't have guessed this until I looked it up earlier today. Texas A&M is the more penalized team. I would have just guessed watching them and eyeballing them when I have them on Saturdays. I thought LSU would be the more penalized team here. Very intrigued by Caden Durham last week. We'll say this about LSU. Talked a lot about Fayetteville and made a big joke of it last week. But what did they do? They went in there and took care of business. 34-10. Caden Durham, 3 touchdowns, 20 carries. They actually ran the football with some success. If they can do that here on the road where it's loud, I think they'll walk away with the win. Garrett Nussmeier has to have a good game. I don't know. It comes down to this, Brian. How much do you trust Connor Wegman? You've saw him against Notre Dame. You've seen him come back. He's been better since he came back from the injury. These two teams are very fitting their playing because they're very similar.
Mm-hmm. You know, you nailed the key right there, Bill, is can they run the football? That's going to be the key. If this is a game where Garrett Nussmeier has to carry the offense by dropping back a bunch, I don't know that they're going to be able to make enough plays to win this game. You know, that to me is going to be a huge, huge part of this game. And look, you could say, well, trend is the home team wins. In both of Brian Kelly's 2 years, A&M has battled LSU. They smacked them 2 years ago in College Station. This is a way better team than that. And last year, even though A&M pulled ahead 42-30, that was a competitive game for a while with A&M playing a lot of backups because they were pretty banged up, right? And so it was, I think, the last game of Jaden Daniels' career at Texas A&M. But then, you know, the same thing was true against Arkansas, and they went out last week and pummeled Arkansas after back-to-back years where Arkansas gave them a game. So it really is going to come down to can LSU run the football and can Texas A&M run the football? I mean, I think because neither one of these quarterbacks, in my opinion, are guys that I want putting a team on its shoulders and just carrying them to victory. Now, I know that Nussmeier's had a couple of them, but I don't think Nussmeier is going to be able to throw the picks that he threw against LSU or against no. Ole Miss.
He will not.
And beat Texas A&M. And this Texas A&M defensive line is playing at a very high level right now. And that's going to be really the key. So, you know, I felt like last week LSU did a great job of being locked in on the opponent in front of them because that opponent had challenged them so much. Where I felt like A&M was kind of sleepwalking a little bit through that game because MSU sucks, thinking about this upcoming game against LSU. This is a bounce-back game. This is a huge opportunity for Mike Elko against his former boss, Brian Kelly, which is another intriguing kind of side story in this game is Brian Kelly going up against one of his disciples. I don't know that he's ever had a game where he's gone up against one of his former coaches.
Makes it intriguing. And yeah. Mike Elko is
– Oh, Chuck Martin, 2017. Sorry.
Miami of Ohio, correct?
Yeah. Yep. 17. Yep.
So he came in and that was a decent game.
No, 52-10.
Maybe not a decent game.
Yeah. Miami of Ohio wasn't very good that year.
Has Miami played them close recently?
Played Notre Dame close?
Yes.
You're thinking of Ball State.
That's who I'm thinking.
Yeah, 2018 was 24-16.
That's the one. And Toledo.
Yeah. That's 2021. Yes. Yep.
And another MAC team. We won't talk about that one.
Just you shut your dirty mouth.
I stopped myself.
We're talking about Brian Kelly, okay?
When are they going to play the Bobcats, man? When are they I will come up for that.
Notre Dame should never play another MAC team ever. And not
play the Bobbies.
Ever.
So anyway, yeah, so a couple predicting the futures here. If Texas A&M wins, we start to point toward the Texas matchup, which to me is starting to shape up as the most intriguing matchup on Rivalry Weekend. Peeking ahead, they haven't seen each other. They hate each other. I always tell people, I've been around every rivalry in this country. There's not two fan bases that hate each other more than Texas and Texas A&M.
Yeah, my genuine, like
personal opinion. Hate. It's yes. A personal thing.
Yes,
like I don't like you because you are Texas. It's borderline. It's weird. I mean, and it's evidenced by they would take shots at each other for 10 years on social media and they weren't even playing. So I'm glad they get to settle it on the field. Two, if LSU wins, they get a bye week, they get Alabama. Think of the opportunities for Brian Kelly there. It's Barry, Alabama. It's the lane is wide open for you to get to the SEC championship game. And
you'd have to get upset.
Yeah, you'd have to lose somewhere.
Yeah.
And you were a drive away from beating USC where you pounded the table afterward. They would be like number one.
Yeah.
Number one-ish. So
yeah, they're definitely in the top two.
Two, right?
Yeah. I think if they're undefeated, they're probably ahead of Georgia. So, even if Oregon's number one, because Oregon would have that win over Ohio State. Let's just say that. They're definitely ahead of Georgia, in my opinion. They're not going to have a one-loss SEC team ahead of an undefeated SEC team.
So, to your point, though, they have a little bit of a rabbit's foot in their pocket right now, right? That they beat Ole Miss, maybe got away with that one. And they're sitting here with this opportunity, and I think they're going to take it. I don't go through the trends often, but I've got LSU winning 31-28.
Wow. You think they can score 31 on this defense?
I think they can get up and down a little bit. And it gets, as Bill pointed out, when when they played that 74 to 72 game,
it's great 24-24 at the end of half.
31-31. I guessed 41-41. So
yeah,
it was like they play some weird games with these guys. So yeah. I could see a couple blown assignments, maybe a block punt. You always ask me, how do I see it playing out? I think LSU rallies in the fourth quarter and somehow wins.
I think if LSU is going to win, they're going to have to jump on A&M early.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because again, the comeback against Ole Miss happened at home. And LSU's been a little bit of a different, like right now, if you look at LSUville, the Arkansas game is a bit of an anomaly for them away from home. They don't play as well away from home. They don't. They haven't in a while. You know, obviously you have the loss last year. They lost to Bama last year on the road. They barely beat Missouri last year on the road. They lost to Ole Miss last year on the road. They lost to Florida State away from home. They don't play well away from home. Is the Arkansas game a beginning of things to come? We'll see. Here's been the thing that's been trending well for them, Bill. Their defense is much improved. Mm-hmm. Like, Baker's done a phenomenal job getting a defense that does not have a lot of talent going. I'm going with the fact that they haven't looked good away from home. I do think Texas A&M was a little bit of a looking past situation, looking past them, to looking past Mississippi State, in my opinion, to kind of get ready for this game. I think Texas A&M wins this one, Bill. I do. I like this football team. I think they're playing really good defense. I think they're going to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. There's not a lot of teams that can get pressure against that offensive line. Ole Miss did a pretty good job of it. I think A&M has an even better front than Ole Miss, in my opinion, as a unit. And so I think they're going to be able to run the ball somewhat effectively on LSU. I think LSU is going to become one-dimensional, and they're not going to be able to run the ball on Texas A&M. And then if it's close and late in the game, then I think A&M wins. I got 24-21 Aggies.
We both have a feeling the
game being somewhat played comparably. I just think it's if it gets into a close fourth quarter game, the home team will win this one. Right? If they don't, then like, I think A&M's going to have to jump out early and then hold on is what I think they're going to have to do, in my opinion. Because I don't know if they can run on them in the fourth quarter the way that Notre Dame did.
Right.
That's the difference. So, Bill, great week of games. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how they're going to play out. We both agree on Texas Vandy. We both had Colorado winning. We split on Michigan State, and we split on LSU, Texas A&M. So we're going to see how this thing goes, man. But thanks for joining me. I know you got to run. You and I will be back next week. There's going to be some big games for us to discuss next week, my friend. And it's going to be kind of the theme here moving forward these next few weeks because there's so many good games.
We're running out of weeks, and I do appreciate you having me on as always. Yeah.
Bill, before you get out of here, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92 at SportingNews.com. Can I get a quick Pitt Syracuse pick from you?
Of course.
I got Pitt winning a close one, 31-27 tonight.
You think Pitt's going to stay undefeated, huh?
7-0.
All right. I actually agree with that. I think that they're going to win 30-27. If it was at Syracuse, I'd like Syracuse. I think Syracuse can win this game. There's no doubt. It's just going to be, can they protect Kyle McCord? If they can protect Kyle McCord, then I think they can win this game. I don't think they're going to be able to protect Kyle McCord, which is why I'm going with Pitt. But if Kyle McCord gets rolling early, I think Syracuse can win. I actually think Syracuse could win convincingly if they can protect Kyle McCord. I just don't know that they're going to be able to do that.
It'll be fun. Old Big East battle tonight. I got Pitt, and then we had a long feature with Pat Narduzzi. Bill has a story about Arch and Quinn. And a
great, hugely important Mountain West game tomorrow night at 2 as well, Bill. Boise State at UNLV. Pair of one-loss teams.
Two 40-plus offenses.
Only loss from UNLV at home to Syracuse.
Jackson Woodard and Ashton Genty. That's must-see TV. It'll be a lot of fun.
It is. Yes,
but that's all at the sporting news this week, and we'll get it going next week.
And can Nebraska not suffer a second blowout? That's going to be another interesting
one. I don't know.
We'll see. So, Bill, thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate you as always. I'll give you some updates this weekend while you're at the game. You know, hey, let you know how things are going.
Absolutely.
So Bill Bender, folks, find him at Sporting News. You love his content, does a great job. He's getting ready to leave. You got a big Hall of Famer interview here today.
Am I supposed to answer this question about the Halloween costume?
Oh, yeah.
Before I go?
Go if you want from Pete Weber, Super Chat. Thanks, Pete. Brian and Bill, what are you going to be for Halloween this year? And if you don't have one planned, what would it be? I'm the Intimidator, Dale Sr.
Real quick, and I can do this quickly.
Grant, my son, last year, Grant was Rick Vaughn because we're in Ohio. Okay. It was perfect.
Sure.
And my daughter was one of the mean girls. I forget which one. I already forget. The one, Regina, maybe. Somebody can help me on the chat. I don't know. And then when I was a senior in high school, I was Yoda, but I because I'm competitive, there was a girl in my class. I borrowed her volleyball knee pads and put them on and like had a stick and was going through the hallway like Yoda, like walking like Yoda. And my knees hurt like heck after the game or after the day, but I won the costume contest in high school. And I still have, I'll dig up that picture for you, Brian. You're
going to
be like, what's wrong with this guy?
I'm just annoyed that Mean Girls has now made a second appearance on the Irish Breakdown show this month. What is going on?
Regina George, that's it. Pete Weber with the assist there. I appreciate it. That was she was Regina George. I'm not quite sure what they are going to be this year. I should probably go investigate that.
What are you going to be, Bill? I don't dress up for Halloween.
I don't not as much anymore. I don't. We have like a hot dog costume around here that I put on one year, but like I haven't done it in a while. I will say this as an October born kid that loves the fall season. I do love Halloween. I love seeing costumes, love giving kids, you know, when they stop by, I love seeing their costumes, seeing what they're doing, and love, you know, pushing my kids to get more candy to put in the fridge. Sure. So when I'm up covering these games late at night, they get very upset. Sorry to put that on that. We could probably go on for 20 more minutes about Halloween, but I sorry to spin that out of control.
Yeah. So I will be dressing up like a middle-class guy in the suburbs who is a Notre Dame fan.
You better be nice and give the kids, you know, a Snickers bar or whatever.
Yeah. I got to remember when that is. Cause last year we missed it. And all of a sudden these kids are knocking on our door. We're like, uh-oh, we don't have anything. So we had to hide downstairs. We felt bad. So I may actually have to go do that now, so I don't forget. So Bill Bender, everybody, thanks so much, Bill, for joining me, man. I can't wait till we get to have this conversation again next week. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Hit that like, hit that subscribe. Check out the shows that Bill's doing for CFB All-America. You can find that at the CFB Nation podcast platform. Wherever you watch podcasts, type in CFB, college football, CFB Nation, and you'll see Bill's latest show. It's also where you can find the Lucky Lefty podcast as well. So, Bill, thanks for being with me, man. Talk to you again here soon. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a Notre Dame victory and very curious. We'll have to talk about the Michigan-Michigan State game post-game next week as well before when we kick things off. So we'll have plenty to talk about next week. So have a great rest of your day, everybody, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow, 1 o'clock, for the Irish Breakdown Mailbag. I have to have Bill on a mailbag one of these days. That'd be a lot of fun. We'll have to do that maybe in the postseason, Bill, or the offseason. We'll have you do a Friday mailbag. That'd be a blast. So
anytime.
Take care, everybody. Talk to you again soon on the Irish Breakdown Podcast. We'll be right back.